This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on March 2nd on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to have a good time tonight. Yes, ignore everything else that's going on in the world and just concentrate on trivia. All right, we've got 11 bumper stumpers, and I just love this theme. I hope you will, too. We'll see whether you pick up on the theme or any of the artists, but I'll tell you in advance that all of the songs were released between 1965 and 67, all soul, so it's a tight group, to say the least. All right, you'll determine what they have in common. Now, we needed a new question. Oh, this one's out there. In 1900, the average... Well, how do I say this? Yeah, I'm already tongue-tied. The annual average per individual was 30. In 1900, the annual average per individual was 30. Today, it's 275. Average what? Now, let me give you the caveat. It's important you hear this part. This has nothing to do with people. So when I say the average per individual, we are not talking about people. All right, but the average in 1900 was 30. That's right, per day. Today, it's 275. All right, actually, I shouldn't say per day, per year. So annual average, 30 in 1900, 275 today. All right, clear as mud, I know. And you haven't even heard the bumper stumpers yet. Oh, but you will. All right, now, if you don't, of course, you know, you haven't heard them, so you're not going to guess on the bumper stumpers. You're probably not ready to guess on my per individual question yet. Yeah, 30 in 1900, 275 today. So that means you can have your own category, and sky is the limit on that because everybody knows something about something. So we'll kick it off. He's been waiting patiently since before the show started, and that's Billy Bob in Bourbonnais. So Billy Bob in Bourbonnais, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, 83rd time caller.
How about that?
I'd like to make a request, too.
All right, well, let me get that list out, or you'll never hear it.
Here, get your Maggie Twanger going there.
Oh, that's already. All right.
Oh, so you don't need that for this.
Not for this. I needed it to answer your call. All right, so now, what you want for request?
I want the Stroking by Clarence Carter.
Oh, okay. That's reasonable.
All right. And then I want to take a guess on the bumper stumpers. All the songs are about cars.
Nope, they weren't.
Okay.
Well, were you figuring between 1955 and 1965?
Well, there's a lot of songs that said cars were hot.
Yep, probably actually a few years too late, but understand. All right. 5 by 5. So that means you got to get 4 right. Are you ready?
Fire away when ready, Gridley.
Who wrote My Way for Frank Sinatra?
Paul Anka.
All right. What is the name of Paul Rubens' alter ego?
Something Herman.
Yeah. What Herman?
Yeah.
Now, come on. He's a kiddie show host. You should be able to figure this out.
Kiwi.
There you are. All right. What does a yellow rose symbolize?
Texas.
Friendship. Friendship.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's all right. What was the first Campbell's soup?
Well, it's going to be one or the other. I'll go with tomato.
Absolutely right.
I'll be darned.
You just have to get the next one right, and it's an easy question. The band ELO, what does ELO stand for?
Electric Light Orchestra.
All right, we have a winner. Hang on, don't go away. Stay where you are. All right, so absolutely that's the way to do it, 5 by 5. And I greatly thank Lisa and Laura for their contributions to these questions, so I actually have 5 by 5 to deal with. All right, Barry is in New Hampshire. Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How are you?
All right. I caught the Elvis movie in concert.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was an IMAX, so it was like when he started his residency in Las Vegas.
Ah, all right.
So there was scenes between rehearsal and then actual concert. It's really good.
Well, you want Beatles, and speaking of concerts, the Beatles' first tour in the USA in 1964, Ringo Starr missed 8 dates because he had tonsillitis. Who filled in for him?
Jimmy McNichol.
Yep.
No, Nickel.
Jimmy Nickel is absolutely right, Jimmy Nickel. And sadly, I think Jimmy was hoping it would give his career a boost. It did just the opposite. No one ever heard of him after that. All right.
Yeah, no, there was a picture of him waiting at the airport to go home after the concert when Ringo came on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because when they were going to make that third movie, one of the topics that they were considering was whether to do something about Jimmy Nickel, and they apparently did nothing about anything. But anyway, that's the deal. Jimmy Nickel it is, so hang on, you're a winner. Don't go away.
All right, thanks.
888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. And Scott is in Oak Lawn. So, Scott, welcome back to WGN Radio. You're going to guess on my question, are you?
Yes, ma'am. I like to guess the income for the average American.
Oh, that's interesting. It's not. Do you have any other guesses?
Not tonight. Usually I have a bunch for you. Just that one came to mind.
Well, it's nice, but if you think of more, call me back.
I will hang up and wait for the answer.
All right,
thank you,
thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, so 1900, the average annual average per individual was 30. Today it's 275. Average what? And it has nothing to do with people. So it's not something people do. All right. So with that in mind, average annual per individual 30. Today, 275. Annual what? All right. So we'll get to Naoto in Japan. Ooh, we're going to do some Myers-Briggs kind of early for that. Good. I'm looking forward to that. But right now I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company and the Pocket Radio. Yeah, I keep it in my purse. It's a truly great little radio. Firstly, it's almost indestructible because I'm hard on my toys. So I absolutely would have destroyed it if I could have. And it's working like a charm. It's got unbeatable AM FM reception like everything Bob Crane has designed. And you talk about a radio this size, man, there's nothing close to it out there. Crisp, clear audio as well. But if you want to hear it in full fidelity, they include free of charge earbuds, and they are just wonderful. But even with the speaker, it's just fine. Very simple to operate, has 5 memory buttons. You can instantly tune to your favorite station. Also makes a great emergency radio because it's got a lighted dial and the NOAA weather band with the alert. Very lightweight, and as I say, durable. That's right. Easy to hold with rubber sides and a pocket clip. You can go to ccradio.com anytime. Look at the CC Pocket Radio. Now, it's a digital readout, lighted dial, and all that kind of stuff. So if you can't see it all, this might not be your first choice. But if you can, the CC Pocket is a terrific radio. And right now, you can get free standard shipping with it as well. You can do it by phone if you want. You can order by phone. They'll answer all your questions as well. That's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, do it, because not only will you see some great products, but great information about radio, too. So it's a radio lover's delight. While you're there, you look at the CC Pocket Radio. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Tomorrow, they said, it's gonna be a push button world. But the problems will always be the same between a boy and a girl. Because love can't be modernized, no matter how many new things they make. There will never be a button you can push and stop a heartache. A trip to the moon may become an everyday thing. And instead of a family car, everybody might have their own private plane. Should stop a heartache. Now people will always be loving and losing and hurting deep down inside. It's been 5,000 years and not one bit has love been modernized. Hey, love can't be modernized.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Who are they? Actually, they had some royalty in that group as far as I'm concerned. Earl Nelson was in it. Yeah, just one of my favorites. Jimmy Conwell, who wrote it. Jimmy Conwell's alter ego, he was Willie Hutch as well. And just a great little record. They also, for a while, were the Exits. But who are they? 1967, and that was on the very well-known Soundville label. All right, so who are they? 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Yeah, that might be the most well-known bumper. No, well, maybe not, but close. They're all really out there. But they have something in common, and you can tell me what it is. Maybe. 888-876-5593. Let's see what Nayoto has. Now, I changed the batteries on the Magic Twanger, and it doesn't seem to be helping at all. Now, why is that? Why? Wait a minute. I talked to... I know it works because I talked to... Oh, here we are. Nayoto in Japan, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for calling, and nice and early, too. So are you out and about walking today?
Yeah, I just took a walk, so I'm kind of like, chilling.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Very nice. All right. Well, that one that works for me. So here we are doing Myers-Briggs again, and we are talking about types, don't you know? And it's interesting because one in particular has a real reputation for being the inventor of the world. They're trailblazers. They're always ready to build prototypes and get projects launched, lifelong learners, constantly generating new possibilities and innovating, even during the toughest of times. What are they?
Maybe they are ENTJ?
Ah, you're so close, ENTP.
Oh,
man. All right, talk to you next week. Okay, bye.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, 3 out of 4, yeah. Tony Stark is an ENTP in Iron Man, always tinkering and investing and inventing and all that kind of stuff. All right, so 888-876-5593. As I say, everybody knows something about something. So in 1900, the average individual, 30 a year was the output of the average individual. Today, it's 275, the average annual. Not people. What are we talking about here? 30 and 1900, 275 today. What could that possibly be? 888-876-5593. So Mike in Winfield is going to take some guesses on that. All right, Mike, what do you think?
Oh, I was thinking, hi, Raleigh, how are you, by the way?
You're fine. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I guess I misunderstood the question, and I was thinking it was trips to the grocery store, but that obviously can't
be. Oh, man, no, people are not involved in this at all.
Gotcha.
If you think,
well, the previous call that you had, I do enjoy his calls. He's such an intelligent man. I really like listening to him.
Yeah. All right, good deal. Well, call me if you think of something else.
I'll call back.
Okay, thanks.
I will.
All right, bye. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see. We're going to do we did Myers-Briggs. We're going to do Seinfeld trivia. And I know I'm in trouble when I can't even pronounce the question, so I need an easier quiz. But Lisa in Dundee, thank you for calling and for all
thanks.
The wonderful
Hi,
questions.
Raleigh.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I can't complain. So
yeah.
Here's what I want to know. What fake name does George go by?
Oh, Art Vandelay?
Absolutely right. All right. So,
yay.
Could
I just mention one little thing, too?
Yes.
Mostly for James on the South Side, but
yeah.
Really anybody else that likes Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
There's a singer that was runner-up on The Voice.
Uh-huh.
And her name is Ruby Lee, L-E-I-G-H.
Uh-huh.
And she's kind of country. She does a lot of covers of Patsy Cline songs.
Yeah.
She's really amazing.
She's a kid, too. No, I think she's like 16. She's like 16 years older or something.
She was when she was on the show. She's probably a little older now.
Okay.
But she's really amazing. She's got an amazing voice.
Wow.
And
well,
so anybody that likes that type of music would, you know.
Well, you've heard her. As far as that goes, what's your favorite that she does?
Oh, well, I really like the song that she used to when she first was on The Voice and made the chairs turn around. And, of course, all four turned around.
Right.
And I think it's, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the name of the song or not, but that's the gist of it.
Well, I'm sure I can find it because it was the first thing she did on that. It's going to be there.
Yeah, that's I see that a lot on you know, the computer.
Okay.
And she yodels sometimes in these songs, and she just has a really unique, powerful voice. I really like her.
Well, she is from Missouri, so I assume it's in her DNA that she yodels. But
probably.
But
it's really fun. It's fun to watch her and listen to her sing. So
now
I thought James might like it.
Yeah,
hopefully
no, it's a good idea,
listening.
And I'll find something to play by her. But after The Voice, and so like you say, it's been a couple of years. She's about 18 now. Did she get a record contract? Is she releasing stuff?
You know, I don't know. I know she's singing in places. I haven't really looked up anything. I can't believe she didn't win.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked up the guy that actually won, and she came in second place.
She does not.
So he must have really been good for her to lose.
She does not have a publicly announced major record contract.
Wow.
So, the winner, the guy you're talking about, Huntley, he got a record deal with Universal Music Group, but she finished second, so she didn't get the contract. She's performed on the Grand Ole Opry, and she's done a lot of things, but I guess nobody signed her yet.
I wonder if that's maybe because she's not. Doesn't have her own, you know, music. She doesn't maybe write her own stuff. I don't know.
You know that
she may, but
that could be years ago. Artists did not write their own things, and if they did, they were lucky if the producer agreed to cut it. You know, the producer would bring the artist the song, and the artist would have to do it, like it or not. And now it's so much the other way. Yeah, they want to. Well, they want to sign the whole package. So, so I don't know, and I'll try to look her up. See, maybe she does.
Yeah, she does a great version of Sweet Dreams. Sweet Dreams.
Okay.
She's really something else.
Wow.
It's odd to find somebody that good, I think.
Yeah.
Good
deal.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Don't go. And, of course, we'll add to your stash. Eventually you get something. And thank you for all the wonderful questions.
My pleasure.
All right,
Laura and I love doing it.
Oh, thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And let's see. Cindy's going to guess on our trivia question. This will be good. All right, Cindy, what do you think?
Okay, but someone said an average person's salary, but I would think it would be an average man's salary, because a woman's salary would be $30 a week.
You're not listening to my clue. I said it has nothing to do with people. So it's not about people. So the average individual is not a person in this case. All right, you think about that and call me back.
Okay, but then I wanted to do something else.
All right, well, hang on and we'll find out what you, well, do you know in advance what you want to do? Because I got to get to the news.
Bewitched trivia.
All right, then hang on and we'll do Bewitched trivia right after the news right here, and another bumper number two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. Love that line. Bigger than high is up. All right. So, not the Sapphires who recorded it later, but this is the original 1965 on ABC Paramount. Of course, yes, another fine Jerry Ross production. So, who are they? 888-876-5593. What do they have in common with the people we played before them? All right. So, we're talking to Cindy in Chicago, and Cindy wanted a Bewitched trivia question, and I aim to please. So, here we go. Now, the 50th anniversary of the show was in 2014, and of the 23 actors and actresses who appeared in 10 or more episodes, only three were alive at the 50th anniversary. Obviously, Diane and Erin Murphy, who played Tabitha, were two of them. But who was the third? And at the 50th anniversary, he was 87.
Uncle Arthur, I don't know what his name is.
No, Uncle Arthur was much younger than that and sadly died long before that. But no, Bernard Fox, Dr. Bombay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Talk to you next week.
Tomorrow, can I ask you a question?
I don't see why not. I will look forward to the question.
All right.
So, sure. And let me see about this week, because I think we've got a couple delays or what have you. Let's see. Yeah, tomorrow I think we're delayed by half an hour for sports. And then Wednesday, I'm not sure. We could be on a little early, actually. I got to check on that. But tomorrow we're late about a half hour. But we've got the next 2.5 hours to fiddle while the rest of the world burns. And we won't think one whit about it either. So there. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. All right, Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio. How you feeling?
Oh, pretty good. Just caught me in mid-sip of water.
Oh, no. Hey, drinking water, that's really healthy. What come over you?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's here.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm supposed to drink more water, and I'm trying to, but it's like water is so boring. Water is just so I put a little bit of lemon juice in it.
Yeah, and not only boring, but fish swim in it. So, you know, it's suspect in itself.
That's right. Yeah.
But I'm the same way. Like, for the last 2 days, I have been having copious amounts of water compared to the nothing I usually drink. And I said to John, I must be sick. I'm drinking water. But
so, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, after I take that methotrexate, I have to drink a lot of water.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to be kind to you. You'll get it instantly.
Okay.
No, you absolutely will. In the Valley of the Jolly, ho, ho, ho.
Green giant.
Absolutely right. I told you you'd get it. All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Don't go
away.
All
right. Thanks.
All right. Good deal. So, yes, green giant. All right. 888-876-5593. A Kingsman record, which actually was a ripoff of Big Boy Pete. So I don't know what ever happened with that. Probably nothing, because neither were very big hits, and usually nobody gets sued until suddenly people make a lot of money. Like what happened with Dallas Frazier. You know, he writes Elvira, no problem. Baby Ray records Elvira, no problem. Half a dozen other people, no problem. The Oak Ridge Boys have a huge hit. Yep, here come the Rivingtons. We're going to sue you because Papa Umau Mau is in there. Oh, man. All right. And they won. 888-876-5593. Well, aren't I pleased? Mike in Chicago is going to guess on a bumper. And I was kind. I was very easy on that one. And so, Mike, who were they?
Hi there, Raleigh. Honey and the Bees for Big Thing.
No, but they did be...
They also wanted to be known as the Cookies or something like that.
No, they did become Honey and the Bees, but this was long before they thought of this. So who were they?
Did they also go by the Cookies?
No, but you're in the right variety.
Okay, it's just when I heard they played the song before on some of these oldie shows, they used to use still for their name.
It's definitely not Honey and the Bees.
But they also had a kind of obscure Christmas song called Jing Jingling that was really, when Christmas comes along, I know you're not that crazy about Christmas, but
that's fine.
Jing Jingling, that was kind of an interesting song they did.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, well,
a good deal. If you can think of who they are, you call me back. I think you've just given it to somebody else, though. We'll see. All right, thanks.
Okay, well, have a nice day.
You too. All right, so yes, who are they? And they did become Honey and the Bees, and Cassandra Wooten and Gwen Oliver and Nadine Felder were in that group, and they were, Philadelphia, and they were Sugar and Spice for a while, and I think it was Jerry Bishop who renamed them, but this was at first, Jerry Ross recorded them, and I love, and actually what I played, I'm going to be a bit thing as the B-side, the A-side was Looky Looky, that was the deal. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, you know, a couple of them actually later became members of the Ritchie family, yeah, while we're at it. All right, so now let's see. We have Shane. And Shane is driving. All right. Oh, good. I love to ride. All right. So let's say goodbye to Mike in Chicago and say hi to Shane. Shane is driving. And so where are we, Shane?
Hey, Raleigh. I'm actually leaving Rockford, Illinois right now.
Oh.
I told Jen I was on 94, but I'm on my way to 94.
Yeah. No, my stomping grounds, Rockford. I lived in Rockford on Travertine Trail.
Oh, okay. Well, we got a terminal out in Rockford, and now I'm going to a terminal out in Jackson, Michigan.
Okay. Well, that'll be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
But at least it's been such a warm winter. No real weather problems, I don't think. What are you facing?
No, not tonight. It looks clear. I looked at the map already, the radar. So
yeah.
It's all clear tonight.
That's what I thought. Good. Well, that's an excellent thing. All right, so we're going to do MASH trivia. Are we?
Yeah, we'll give it a shot again.
All right. Why not? And so, of course, I just look up these quizzes online, of course, and I might as well be speaking Swahili. So here's one from Fun Trivia, and it says easy. All right. Well, we'll see, won't we? Yeah, easy for them. They wrote it. All right. So let's see. We got at the opening of the very first episode, called the pilot episode, which song is the first thing you hear while Trapper and Hawkeye are playing golf, Henry operates on a champagne court, Hot Lips and Frank are playing footsie, and Radar is tossing a football with Spear Chucker?
I'm trying to... I know it.
Yeah, Hawkeye is humming it when he cuts his liver.
It actually plays through a bunch of different episodes. It's always in the background.
Yeah. Well, let's see if let me see if I can't give you choices. Then you'll definitely get it. Suicide is Painless, Battle Hymn of the Republic, My Blue Heaven, or Making Whoopee?
My Blue Heaven.
Absolutely right. Yes, you betcha. All right. Well, you got it. Good deal. Hang on. The prizes are worthless, but eventually you get something. And
thanks, Raleigh.
Thanks for taking me along for the ride. Love to ride. I hope I like it.
You're welcome.
All right. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So, yeah, it is. As far as I know, it's a nice night in the United States of America. I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but we're here. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And I throw out a question. It has nothing to do with people. In 1900, the average per individual was 30. Today, the average per individual is 275. So we'll just say today, the annual average output was 30 a year. Today, it's 275 a year. So average annual output of what? All right, so 30 in 1900, 275 today. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And of course, you know the deal with Monday Night Trivia. We need callers, because since I ask the questions, it's just not good sport if I try to answer them as well. That we leave for you, and you can have your own category, and sky is always the limit on that. But otherwise, I was meaning to look it up. I guess we could do that together. You know, we've got a very interesting eclipse coming up, and Mercury retrograde and six planets all together. Yeah, I don't know what it means, but apparently, given world news, maybe that's exactly what it means. So I'll leave that to you too. But we'll see what else is going on this day in history, perhaps. Yeah, Miss Carol, that's for sure. So we've got our question. The average output a year in 1900 was 30. The average output a year today is 275. It's not people. Output of what? All right. So 888-876-5593. We got another bumper stumper coming up. There's a theme, you know. And we were so close on going to be a good thing with an artist. This next one, I'm not so sure you'll know. But sooner or later, as I was putting these on the computer, it occurred to me that the one thing many of them had in common was the absolute worst production values. Some of these are overmodulated to hell and back, and it's really sad because some of them are just terrific records otherwise. But you'll hear another one of those coming up in moments here on WGN Radio.
Gather round, I'm gonna bring to you a soul sound. Grab your
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Who are they? All right. 1967 on Schofield. Yes, if you have it in your collection, you'll remember the label. It's blue, by the way. And the likelihood you do is nil. However, maybe you'll know who it is. And maybe you'll pick up on the theme sooner or later. And if not, well, I've got my question. We're talking about output per individual annually. And individuals are not human beings, okay? Output per individually annually, not humans. 30 in 1900, 275 today. Average what? All right, the average annual output. Annual output of what? 888-876-5593. So you got bumper stumpers and you got a question. And of course, you can pick your own category. And sky's the limit on that, as we routinely prove on Monday nights. And maybe we will, by the way, before the evening is out, get into the parade of planets, six in alignment, plus the Mercury retrograde and the solar eclipse. Yeah, no wonder things are going crazy everywhere. So we'll just fiddle while Rome burns or something burns. Cindy called back. All right, Cindy, more guesses? No, wait, I can't talk to Cindy if I don't get her on the air. All right, Cindy, sorry about that.
Yeah, I have a good guess, I think. It came to me. I don't know if Boeing was in production, like business. Boeing airplane?
No.
Train cars?
No.
Well, then I'll have to think about it. Am I close?
No, you're not even in the arena.
But those were good guesses, right?
I wouldn't go that far, but they were interesting.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. So, 888-876-5593. So, this has nothing to do with people, no human beings in the question, and we're talking about the average annual output per individual was 30 in 1900. Today, it's 275. So, an individual in 1900 had an output of 30, an individual today has 275, but the individuals are not people. So, 888 876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Now, let's see. Let me say goodbye to Cindy. And did Mike call back? We might have talked to Mike. I don't know. Mike, are you there?
Mike is on hold here.
All right. So, Mike, what's up?
Okay. I think we're talking about what is the output or who is the producer? What is the producer?
Well, I just want to know what the output is. But if you tell me what the producer is, you'll probably be there.
The output are eggs, and the producer are chicken heads.
You're 100% right. The average the average hen in 1900 produced 30 eggs a year. Today, the average hen produces 275.
My goodness. Thank heavens for my work in a chicken coop.
Well, really? Really? Do you have direct personal experience with chickens?
A few years back. Just, some... Chicago Southside backyard chicken.
Ah.
And a couple roosters, too.
Oh, well, that always enlivens it, and it allows for more eggs, too. All right. Well, very good. Hang on. The prizes are worthless. Takes forever to get something. You're doing it for the fun of it, but eventually you get a certificate you'll like. So don't go away. All right. So,
I've been through it, Pete.
Yeah, good deal. That's the deal. Eggs, yeah. 275 today, 30 in 1900. That was poor. Oh, no, I just hung up on him. Oh, God. Call me back. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'll never learn, obviously. I was supposed to be hold, and I screwed up. Gee, what a change. No, that's pretty much average for me, and my deepest apologies. Call back, John. We'll get your address, I promise. This is my fault, entirely my fault. Robert in LaGrange, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, I just have a couple of requests for tonight.
Well, they won't be tonight. Like to hear, they won't be tonight, of course.
Pat Domino, I'm in love again.
All right, wait a minute. Yes, it's me, and I'm in love again. Wait a minute. Let me find the piece of paper to write it so I will actually remember this. All right, Robert in LaGrange. Yes, it's me, and I'm in love again. All right.
Right. And the other one, I don't know if you ever said, I may be wrong, but you said you didn't really care to play this guy, Neil Sedaka.
No, I love Neil Sedaka.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I must be thinking of something else.
Yeah, well, by the way, Neil Diamond, you're not going to hear me play. That's for damn sure. But Neil Sedaka, and I'm so sorry of his passing. I figured we'd talk about it tomorrow night. But one of my guilty pleasures, and I admit this, I publicly admit this, although it's embarrassing as hell, one of my all-time favorite records is Alice in Wonderland by Neil Sedaka.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, this was kind of in honor of Neil, because I know that he did pass away a couple of days ago, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
This is a nice ballad he had called You Mean Everything to Me.
I don't know if I know this.
No?
Was this 70s time?
No, it was early Sedaka.
Okay. I'll look for it. Maybe I do know. But yeah, like I say, Alice in Wonderland, my all-time fave, but there's so many that I liked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, World Through a Tear.
Sure. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very, very sorry that he passed. You know, I was hoping to have him on the air a couple of years ago, and sadly, I got the message back that he just wasn't up to being up at night and didn't want to do it, just didn't feel good. And I understood that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I figured it was a matter of time. I've also been waiting because I got that same answer from Gene Chandler, and I really wanted him on, and he's like, not a night.
Oh.
So I hope that he's doing all right, but I worry. But yeah, you betcha, we'll play Neil.
Because Gene Chandler must be getting up there already too.
Absolutely. Yeah, same age basically. Yeah. I think he's 80. I think he was born in 1937, so he's 87.
Oh, wow.
88
yeah.
this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and had went through some really hard times in his life. So right.
Wow. Yeah. Really.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You betcha. Thanks. Appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So, yeah, it's a rare six-planet alignment, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, aligning with a Mercury retrograde in Pisces and an eclipse. So, of course, that's intense chaos, to say the least, and transformative energy, which I guess really fits with the world events. Mercury in retrograde in Pisces, you know, anytime you deal with Mercury retrograde, you know, it's communications delay, it's equipment snafus, it's travel problems and all that. Well, of course, Pisces brings emotional volatility into the mix as well. So probably best to slow down. That's right. Release some old controlling habits. You know, not a great time to be doing that much. But the six-planet alignment actually happened over the weekend. And when Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune aligned with that was the deal. And there were some interesting shifts in that. But as far as Mercury retrograde, that'll go on for the next couple weeks. And again, you got Mercury in Pisces in retrograde, can be a very emotional time, while everything falls around you. And like I say, when I say it rules travel, it's not when you're going to die in a fatal airplane crash. It's when the airline's going to lose your luggage, you know, nothing really serious stuff. So we are in the eclipse season, as they say, major sudden changes urging us to stop forcing outcomes. I leave it to you. But it is interesting because I was aware that all these planetary things were coming up, and then just as they did, you know, all hell breaks loose in terms of world affairs, and I thought, wow, you know, that's probably the first time I've ever seen it conjunct so so elegantly, to say the least, in terms of seeing the activity that just is, as they say, written in the stars. Yeah, well. So we have another couple of hours and more bumper stumpers. Yeah, in fact, this was one of those themes where I could have easily played like 20 or 30. And I was just down to choosing the last one during the commercial break, and because I was debating between two. And I'll tell you which one didn't win out, since we won't be playing it, but I was going to play Timmy Williams' Competition, 1965 on Mala. Not a bad record, to say the least, but I found something better. And you'll hear it next hour along with three others, so four an hour for the next couple hours. And a new question coming up. Oh, but of course. In the 1880s, the New York Times warned that Americans who are embracing this would be leading to the ruin of the Republic. Americans embracing this would lead to the ruin of the Republic. Embracing what? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I brought her a diamond ring. My friends say that I'm insane, but I'll do it all over again. Nothing's too good for my baby. Nothing's too good for my baby, baby, baby. A Cadillac for my baby. She didn't even ride me home. Nothing's too good for my baby, baby, baby. I never knew of happiness until I met my baby, baby, baby.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who are they? That was 1966 on Whale, and that was an unknown Philadelphia label. The guy who wanted his last name was Wales, W-A-L-E-S, and Whale was the label for that. So who are they, and why am I playing that anyway? All right, now let's clear up some confusion. And when I said we had six planets aligned, I immediately got an email saying they're not even in the same signs. No, this actually is an astronomical phenomenon, what happened over the weekend, not an astrological one, from the standpoint of the planets appeared to be in line in a row from our point of view on the Earth, like a parade. And it's normal when there are two or three planets in alignment, obviously, but when you've got six or more, that's comparatively rare. Now, astrologically, in case you were wondering, we had Mercury and Venus in Pisces, Neptune and Saturn in Aries, and Uranus in Taurus. So there's nothing particularly notable about that astrologically. And astronomically, though, where you could see them in line, that was quite the event. Now, of course, Neptune and Saturn together in Aries have their own interesting vibrations from that. But regardless, not the big deal. The big deal astrologically would be, of course, the eclipse and the fact that Mercury is retrograde. So that's the deal. Now, in terms of could you see all six planets? Probably not with the naked eye, if you were looking, as far as that goes. Space.com said they'll be visible between half an hour to an hour after sunset, but a few things. A, you needed an unobstructed view to the west, cloudless skies, and B, you probably needed a telescope or at least a pair of binoculars. And Saturn and Jupiter should have been very easy to see, but Mercury, Venus, Uranus, and Neptune required binoculars or sometimes a telescope. But people who love gazing at the stars were all a gag over that. So that's what happened. All right, now 888-876-5593. 1880s. The New York Times warned Americans embracing this will lead to the ruin of the republic. Embracing what? All right, so Cindy called back. Want to take some guesses? Sounds good to me. All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you think?
Coffee.
Nope.
Coca-Cola.
Nope.
All right.
Well, thanks for trying.
All right.
Appreciate it. All right, so that's the deal. You know, you can have your own category if you know none of my bumpers, which is probably going to be the case, but hopefully you'll hear some stuff you like that you've never heard before. Like that first thing I played by The Trips. I thought, see, I just gave it away, but no one's going to get it. I thought Love Can't Be Modernized is one of those records that was just an absolute classic. But the rest of them, yeah, they have their own value, all of them. And you can tell me who they are, maybe. All right, so this is, of course, March 2nd, coming to a close, the 61st day of the year. Hard to believe. Yeah, time does move quickly, to say the least. Desi Arnaz, his birthday would have been today, born in 1917 on March 2nd. Yeah, so that was the deal there. They and he's been dead since 1986, so I always liked him. It's Labor Day in Australia, so they got the day off. The anniversary of the Battle of the Bismarck, and that is a while ago, to say the least. Ethiopia, Adwa Day, that's, that, there you go. And so that was Ethiopian forces under Menelik II inflicted a crushing defeat on the invading Italians. And when was this? 1896, in case you were counting. And Dr. Seuss had a birthday today, born on this date in 1904. Yeah. I love when we discover things, you know, like nations. It's Guam Discovery Day, as if no one was there at all, or Magellan Day. And Ferdinand Magellan discovered Guam, 1521. Yeah, well, it was a discovery to him, probably not the indigenous people living there. Now, it's also the anniversary of the highway number system. Now, we're not talking about the interstates. That that actually is the polar opposite. But the U.S. highways, it's the anniversary of that. March 2nd, 1925, when the Secretary of the Agriculture, who at the time was Howard Gore, appointed members to the board, who at their first meeting began the process for a nationwide route numbering system for highways. And, you know, odd and even, and whether they're east and west or north and south and all that. And again, polar opposite, the U.S. routes, for instance, on the interstate highways, the further south you are, the lower the number, like I-10 skirting the, you know, southernmost part of the country, as far as contiguously anyway. There's some below it, but you get the idea. And, you know, I-94 and such the other way. But for the U.S. system, the U.S. highway system, not the interstate system, it's the opposite. So U.S. 2 up near the Canadian border, and of course U.S. 90 down in the south. But this was the anniversary of that in 1925. So long before there were interstates, there were ideas for national highways, and of course we all know the mother road, Route 66. So 888-876-5593. And, you know, that's an interesting one, too, because you can kind of argue, well, is it a north-south route or an east-west route? Well, ultimately, it's an east-west route, hence it has an even number. All right, so we've got Maddie in... before we do, Cindy wants another guess. Oh, sure, why not? All right, Cindy, go for it. What's your guess? Or maybe she already had it. All right, could have. So we'll hopefully I did my due diligence on that, and we will move directly on Monday Night Trivia at 888-876-5593 to Maddie in Harwood Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you think?
Hey, Raleigh, I'm going to try one, and then I'm going to have just a small extra. I'm going to say atheism, but then I'm thinking Darwinism.
They're both good guesses. Neither are right, but they're both good guesses.
Oh!
Sorry about that. I'm so glad you called up. If you think of something else, call me back. Thanks.
All right.
Good deal. Yeah. So that was not it, but certainly would live up to what we had. Yes, the New York Times warning: Americans embracing this will lead to the ruin of the republic. Embracing what? Yeah. So Darwinism, atheism. That makes all the sense in the world. That's not it. All right. So 888-876-5593. We're going to be talking some Dick Van Dyke Show trivia next, right here on WGN Radio.
Last night I gave you a night on the town, but today you said you didn't want me around. You spoke to me as shy as any night. Why do you bring such misery to my life? Oh, what more do you want from my life? I want to know what more do you want from my life? And tell me, please, baby, you got it. The beat of my heart and anything else, honey, you know that I've got. You're welcome to every move that I make, and that's not enough. You're welcome to every breath I take. Oh, what more do you want from my heart?
try love just one more time.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So what do they all have in common? Yeah, I mean, other than most of them sound overmodulated, and there's a certain hell for the recording engineers on these records, because some of them would be just wonderful if they had any quality to them at all. But who is this? 1966 on Simcoe. Yeah. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, and of course, we have a question. I've got a question anyway. In the 1880s, the New York Times proclaimed, yes, a warning, that Americans embracing this would lead to the ruin of the Republic. Embracing what? 888-876-5593. Now, when you don't know my questions and you don't know my bumpers, well, you have your own category. That's the way that works. So Gary is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, I think it might be cigarettes.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, wow.
You are 100% right. In fact, what they said in the New York Times, don't you know? If this pernicious practice obtains among adult Americans, the ruin of the Republic is at hand. So there you go.
I remember reading a lot of newspaper accounts from back then, especially when women were starting to smoke cigarettes and how they were just evil fallen women, you know, like these are like early from the early 1900s. I was thinking, well, maybe that's what it would be, because I know cigarettes were invented sometime in the high 18s, I think. But
I have no idea, but it makes sense. But, you know, I know the New York Times will go off on some of the darndest things, but I thought this one was a bit much. Although if this is the biggest thing they have to worry about, the Republic is safe.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Especially if you look at it from 150 years later.
Right. Well, exactly. Right. Yes. This is not an issue. Exactly.
No, it's not.
All right. No. Well, good deal. Well, you're a winner. Hang on. Great. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right. So 888-876-5593. Let us not hang up on Gary. All right. Mike called back. All right, Mike, you're with me? Mike. Well, I guess Mike called back and then left. All right. Well, bye, Mike. All right. So we'll free up a line since every one of them is busy right now and see what's going on. We're going to do. Maddie in Harwood Heights called back. All right. So Maddie, what do you think? No. Okay. All right. Be that way. That we're going to do some American literature trivia here and Seinfeld trivia. But John in Covington wants Dick Van Dyke. All right. John, how's it going, John?
Good, thank you. I always say I don't want to bring this up. However, the cigarette answer, while cigarettes, and I never wanted to be one of these people that when I quit, I would preach. But 3 packs a day for 46 years, and they were Pall Mall Straights, the non-filters. I enjoyed them, but it got the best of me. But if I do good in August, I don't go back till August. And if that MRI comes back 10 days before she sees me, then I'll be considered in remission. But she also said, once you go in remission, that doesn't mean you can't go back. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. All right.
Yeah. But instead of crying, when I first was diagnosed, crying and this and that, and got the glaucoma and can't hardly see, you know what? The heck with it. Life's too short. I've had a good life, you know. I really have. And anything, cigarettes, that was my choice. Glaucoma, you know what? It says, they say it skips a generation. It's the only thing my grandmother left me.
Well, and there you are.
All right, so I got that out of the way and off my chest, and thank you for listening. Now let's play Dick Van Dyke.
All right. Before taking on the role of Laura Petrie, Mary Tyler Moore had no experience in comedy. And so for the first several episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show, she tried her best to emulate the dramatic delivery of her favorite movie actress. Who was it?
Oh, Lord. Uh,
Now, let me say that.
Carol Bombart.
No, what I was going to say is I never thought about this woman as being a comedian, so how about that?
Okay. Well, you got me.
All right, well, by the way, it's Katharine Hepburn.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? I can see. I can right. see her trying to do that and pulling it off as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of pulling it off, so that was the first few episodes. Again, she had no comedic experience whatsoever. But then there was an unexpectedly hilarious performance in an early episode in which Laura does this to re-spark Rob's interest. What does she do?
I'm sorry, Raleigh. I'll talk to you later
right.
in the week.
Well, by the way.
Thank you. God bless you.
Here,
thanks.
And maybe you'll know if she dyes her hair blonde. So you'll have to go back and see that one. All right, thanks. So, yes, dyes her hair blonde in an effort to re-spark Rob's interest. And everyone connected with the show realized what a potentially fine comedic actress she really was. So that's what led to her fame, comedically speaking, that is. All right, so I believe... Oh, we're going to do charts. Oh, how I love charts. That'll be Jake and Skokie. Don't go away, Jake. We'll do 1972. And we got some Seinfeld trivia coming up. And Alex from Round Lake, right after the news, will have some American literature. You know, I had a bookmark site for American literature since I couldn't come up with the questions on my own, don't you know? And it went away. Yeah, I'm not sure why. Sites do that occasionally, but I'm not sure how it went down to total defeat. Apparently, maybe I was the only one reading it. All right, we'll try some 5x5 before the news. Perhaps Dave on the north side. All right, Dave, you ready?
Hello?
Yes, Dave.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yes, right.
I'm ready, Dave.
Pick up your phone. Don't use your speakerphone. Get actually on the phone and talk to me. Let me know when you are.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. In the Rocky movies, what's Rocky's last name?
Balboa.
Yep, absolutely right. Let's see. What do you call a plate that's used under hot dishes to protect the table?
Say that again.
What do you call a plate that's used under hot dishes to protect the table?
Hot plate?
No, a trivet. Okay.
Before my time.
No, well, they're still around today, don't you know? All right.
No.
What was little Jack Horner doing in the corner?
Sitting on a Muppet?
Eating his Christmas pie. Talk to you next week.
Can I request some songs?
All right. Hang on. We'll get them after the news. Don't go away. All right. And we'll pick it up there, and we'll do American literature, and we'll do charts and Seinfeld trivia coming up on WGN Radio.
I built a castle in my dreams just for you and that you share. I dreamed of a land we'd go. Just for us to be alone, but oh my darling, how did I do? Yeah, I often walk in the park every night, wishing you were by my side, creating the perfect situation that I know you and I would enjoy. But oh.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. What a great song. Who Are They? And they were actually a female soul group from Detroit, but they wound up on the Garrison label, which is really kind of strange because Garrison was a little label that was started the year before, in 1966, I think, in a suburb of Houston in Pasadena, Texas. So how this group became an act on Garrison, I don't know. But they were, and that's a song. And so Who Are They? And what's the theme? 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Now, we left Dave. Oh, no, I just hung up on him. He wanted requests, too. I'm so sorry. Call me back, Dave. I promise not to hang up. Well, I'll try not to hang up on you. I'm not going to promise anything. But I'll do my darndest. We've got Alex in Round Lake. How's it going, Alex?
I'm good. How are you, Raleigh?
All right. I don't know what happened to my page that I was asking you all these great questions. It's no longer on the internet, so I guess they didn't pay to renew the domain. So, all right.
Okay.
In 1827, Catherine Maria Sedgwick published her novel that focused on the crucial role of women in early America by presenting independent females performing heroic acts. Furthermore, she exposes the Puritan victory in the Pequod War of 1637 as a massacre of hundreds of women and children. While all of this is framed within the domestic story of family and relationships, Sedgwick manages to challenge the dominant ideologies of her time. Now, the name of the novel sounds like a pun of a synonym for In a Desperate or Despairing Manner. What's the name?
Wow.
By the way, the subtitle
you got me.
The subtitle is Early Times in Massachusetts, but the name of the novel is Hopelessly, and of course, Hopelessly, obviously. It was her third novel of six, and she also authored several short stories and a lot of children's writings, but yes, Hopelessly. So now you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You always seem to grab those.
I try.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's Hopelessly. All right. Indeed. Yes. So 888-876-5593. Jake and Skokie, are you still with us, Jake?
Yep. And by the way, I like the way you find good music from an era that I didn't think had good music, you know, the early 60s.
Oh, yeah. No, it was my favorite period of time, actually. I know historians and critics all put it down, but I thought the formulaic early 60s were wonderful.
Yeah.
So we're going to do 1972, are we? This week in 1972?
Yeah, it's the year I graduated from high school.
Oh, so. Very good. All right. And was that in Illinois?
Yeah, Loyola Academy in Wilmette, Illinois.
Perfect. Number one, Without You.
Ooh. Oh, that does be easy. Without You. Any hint?
A male artist used only his last name.
Hmm.
Richard Perry produced it, but that won't help you.
My artist song uses his last name.
It was on RCA.
I'm stumped on that one. I can't think of a male artist.
Without You was Nilsson. I can't live if living is without you. Yeah, that thing.
You hear Nilsson, yeah.
Well, number two is a sucky record, but you probably do remember it and never want to hear it again. Hurting Each Other.
I thought this would be easy.
It's to your credit if it doesn't come to mind right away, but it was number two.
Each Other. Oh, this is not easy.
That would be the Carpenters.
I don't like them.
Yeah, I told you. I know. Yeah. Number three, Precious and Few. Are the moments
it almost sounds like New Comedy 6 for this around era.
Yeah, you're right. It's wrong era.
Precious and Few. I thought this would be easy.
Ah, that's so funny. Well, what I need
earlier, you're next time.
What I need to do is find Precious. It and play a little of Precious and Few because I'm actually willing to do that, unlike the Carpenters.
Great. But
let's see if I can find it here. I know I've got it on this computer. And let's see. Here we go. All right, it's here. So, here they are in their glory and splendor.
Precious and few are the moments we two can share.
See, that was one of I thought that was Colony 6.
You thought what?
I thought that was a new Colony 6, but apparently it's somebody else.
No, it's absolutely not, and it's a group, and for the most part, and what label was that on? I'm trying to think. That was, I think it was on Carousel, which nobody would remember that label, but they were from Los Angeles, and Precious and Few was the only damn hit they had. They were called Climax, and interestingly, Cleveland fans will remember that Cleveland's own Sonny Geraci was in that group, and you heard him doing lead. And that's...
I lived in Cleveland, but,
okay,
but
well,
later.
Sonny Geraci, you should absolutely know from The Outsiders, Time Won't Let Me.
Yeah,
that's... and, of course, then Precious and Few. All right, so moving right along here. Number four. Number four, Down by the Lazy River.
Oh, they were kind of a television group.
Definitely.
Variety show that would be like the Osmonds.
Yes, absolutely right. The Osmonds. Yeah. Number five, Everything I Own. Probably to your credit, you don't recognize this either. It's a group name, but the guy behind it was David Gates.
Oh, Brad.
Okay, very good. All right.
I did not like them either.
Yeah, who could blame you? Number six, it's a remake, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, wow. The original, at least, was Township Jive Music.
Well, actually, the original goes back way, way, way back, but the Tokens had the original pop hit of it, but no. This is a remake by an artist who had hits, actually. His earlier stuff, which almost nobody knew, I loved, like If You Don't Want My Love and all that, but later he did a lot of things that were bigger hits. And two first names. His real name was Bobby Peterick Jr., but you wouldn't know that. He actually was a child star momentarily, but as an adult, he used his first and middle name.
But this is hard. I have to go earlier year next time or something.
Robert John. You remember Robert John?
No.
No. Oh, man, I loved Robert. Okay. Number seven, Heart of Gold.
Oh, Neil Young.
Very good. Number eight, Let's Stay Together. It's a Memphis record on the High label. Willie Mitchell produced it.
Maybe the Shy Lights?
No, they're from Chicago. Al Green.
Oh. Oh, God.
Number nine, Sweet Seasons. On the Ode label.
Sweet Seasons. These are hard. I don't know.
Number 10, by the way, Carole King. Number 10. Bang a gong, get it on.
Oh, T-Rex.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got
it. If I had thought,
you got a few of them anyway.
I knew the Carole King too, which I just didn't connect. Yeah.
Well, we'll try it again anytime you want.
Yeah, I better pick a different year though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's up to you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for letting
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks. All right. So there you have it. Yeah. For the most part, it is hard. I don't think I could do the 70s, you know, because I just was an adult and not paying attention at all. So, but I'll tell you, conversely, Mark in Aurora, our idiot savant for the charts. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. We're going to do 1976.
Yeah, we're going to try.
All right, 1976.
Because I
40.
I wasn't quite as in touch with the top 40 after 75.
All right. 40 years ago right now, or 50 years ago right now, 1970.
Oh, that's true.
50 years ago right now, yes, I was in Louisville.
Yeah.
All right, playing oldies, actually. Let's see.
Okay.
If we can do this. 1976. Number one, Love Machine.
Miracles.
Yep. Number two, All By Myself.
Oh, Eric Carmen, and he took that from a Rachmaninoff piece.
I'm afraid he did. Number three, December 1963.
Oh, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Yeah. Number four, theme from SWAT.
Oh God, I should know this one. I know.
Well, I don't. By the way, I don't know why you should know it because you can't name anything else by him. At least I can't.
Theme from SWAT. Not The Ventures.
No, like I say, if these people ever did anything else, I don't know what it was. I should.
Yeah, and when you tell me their name, I'm going to kick myself.
Oh, you are. You absolutely
I'll know
are.
That because, I knew it.
Right, you do know it. You will be very upset.
And I'm hearing it in my head right now.
Yes, yes. And well, I'm trying to see if I can give you some hint. Steve Barry actually started that group. Let's see. And they were, you know, they were a studio group more than anything. Other than Steve Barry, I don't know anybody in it. But here you go. And yes, you will. You rather
Rocky?
No. Rhythm Heritage.
Rhythm Heritage. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and
well,
they,
I'm not going to get out of the top 10 tonight.
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, so after themes from SWAT, they did theme from Young Frankenstein, Who Would Care? Beretta's theme, you know, just a bunch of things.
Okay.
That there's no reason to remember. And you mentioned Rocky, and they did Gonna Fly Now theme from Rocky.
Yeah,
on and on. So yes, Rhythm Heritage. No reason to know that.
Okay,
that's all right. You certainly don't have to get them all. Let's move directly on after that to number five. Take It to the Limit.
Eagles.
Number six, Dreamweaver.
Gary Wright.
Number seven,
formerly from Spooky Tooth.
Yep, Lonely Night, Angel Face.
I'm chuckling because I know what you want me to say.
Yeah.
Captain and Toenail.
You're right, I know, actually. Number eight, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Paul Simon.
Yes. Number nine, Love Hurts.
Love Hurts. Is it? No, it's not. Could you play it?
Oh, God. Must I? All right, I will. I've got it, believe me. But, oh, God. Yeah, I remember getting a memo over that. Came out, Love Hurts, and I said, only the first time. And just had to explain that. All right, so let's see.
Oh, wait a minute.
All right, here we go.
Is it Nazareth?
Yes, it is Nazareth.
Yeah, I just thought of it.
Yeah, Nazareth. Jim Capaldi did it also, but we didn't need him. All right, number 10.
Oh.
You Sexy Thing. Oh, come on, don't fail me now. I love this.
Oh, Hot Chocolate.
Yes, absolutely right. All right, let's see how far you go. 11 is Sweet Thing.
Play it.
Oh, God. Let's see if I can. Yeah, probably I'll play It'll Come a Sweet Thing and be the country thing, but it's not a sweet thing. All right. Well, no wonder it's not coming up. I wrote Sweat Thing. Wait a minute. Guess there's no record called Sweat Thing. No, let's see.
Well, there's a group called Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats.
Yeah, well, it's not the Spinners record, obviously, and not Mary J. Blige. Looking for it, and obviously looking for the one that's not country. All right, and let's see. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. You don't need need more than this, do you?
I will love you anyway, even if you cannot stay. I think you are the one for me. Here is where you
I'll
are
know the name
to be.
Tell me, but it's not
I just
coming.
Want to satisfy, though you're not mine.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, I thought it was actually a decent record. That would be Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, very good. You got enough to enough to win. And so hang on.
Okay.
We'll confirm that address and talk to you soon. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. Yes, there is another bumper stumper coming up this hour. And we've got Stacy. We've got Dan. Stan. Oh, Stan's going to give us a bumper guess. Bet you he knows the last one. And maybe knows a bunch of them. We'll see. We'll play another one. And Jeff and Homewood want Seinfeld trivia. All more coming up on WGN Radio.
You're breaking my heart, you see. Even your friends don't know the way you hurt me so. I can't forgive you for the wrong that you've done. There's in my heart and in my mind, you're the only one for me, and this won't change.
This won't change.
I can't do what you do.
This won't change.
Up to you to do the things I want you to. Put a smile on your face and say you be true. I can't let you go feeling the way that I do. And after all the said and done, I'll still be loving you, loving you. Be together. I can't forgive you for the wrong that you've done. And in my mind,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, that's another another case where a recording engineer should have been shot. Yeah, I mean, no trial, no need for that. We know he was guilty. We heard the overmodulated result. You're out of here. All right. Actually, he's originally from Detroit. And, Dan said he danced on Swingin' Time with his twin sister, as far as that goes. So if you know Swingin' Time, you might know exactly who that is. Maybe Stan does. So Stan in Dearborn, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. That definitely is Detroit music there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like something from LaBeat.
Absolutely is on LaBeat.
I can't think of his name.
He and his sister, I think his sister was named Leslie, used to dance on Swingin' Time, you know, the Robin Seymour show on Channel 9.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, both they were both real snazzy dressers and obviously were, you know, great dancers and as far as that goes. But, yes, Lester Tipton was his name.
Oh, okay. Actually, I was calling for the previous girl group, one of my favorite girl groups from Detroit.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they got, like you said, on Garrison.
On Garrison, right, exactly. And
I think I got that one on Wand. I think that was also on Wand.
Well, that's because Wand distributed Garrison, so.
Oh, okay. Never in a Million Years by the Honeybees.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the first time I heard that song when it came out, for a few minutes there, I thought it was Smokey Robinson.
Oh yeah,
you know, and
well, it's got Detroit music in it. Yeah,
yeah. And plus the sound and all that. I could
yeah,
really,
the music, yeah,
I could hear him doing that.
Sounds like,
yeah,
you know, Motown.
Yeah,
and one of my favorites by them is One Wonderful Night.
Yes,
on Fontana.
Yes,
and I think they had another one on VJ.
Did they?
What was that? One boy, one girl, and the flip side was something on VJ in '64, I think. I can't think of the other hit side.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that I know this VJ record.
Honeybees on VJ. Yeah, I've got a VJ for them.
Yeah, I'll be darned. I know, and there were remakes of that, but really, you have them on VJ. I do not have them on VJ. All right, and this is our Juanita Williams group, right?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, Barbara Ann Williams, Juanita Williams, Mary Stega Lucas. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be darned. Well, now I got to look out for VJ. Do not know this.
I don't think their VJ one made it to the charts. So.
Well, I don't think Garrison did either.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, let's face it.
I was thinking of the R&B charts myself.
Yeah, right. No, but, I don't think that either. No, I don't think any Garrison record ever made it anywhere, actually. And,
no, that's true. I don't know how it got there. And
the guy who started it, he was from Pasadena, you know, which later became famous because of Gillies, but his name was Winford Terry. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up. We'll talk a little about him coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, there I am singing along. It's a short record. It's only about a minute 45. And it's another case where there's a recording engineer. There's no need for a trial. Just take him out of our misery. That could have been a good record if that were produced well. So that's what I get for listening to things on the Tie label. So yes, back to Stan here for a moment. But Garrison was owned by Winifred Terry. And he had been a member of the Drifters for a minute and a half, like the mid-60s or thereabouts. But
That name sounds familiar.
Right. And the reason you'll really think it sounds familiar, he got Frank and Jimmy Bryant together as the Just Brothers, and it was on Lupine, Things Will Get Better. And then they also put Willie Hendricks in this. But how exactly he was in Pasadena or why he owned Garrison, well, sadly, I don't think he's around to ask him anymore, which I really, really regret. But, that's who it was.
And his connection to Lupine, too. Wow.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So there was some good stuff there. But, exactly why Garrison? He put out a record under his own name, Garlina, on Garrison. But, the Lupine stuff was notable. So, but I'm telling you, as I was picking out these records, and they all have something in common, but I realized that, my God, more than half of them have lousy production in common. There's a reason these records weren't hits, and they should have been.
Yeah, There were some recording engineers that we knew from our collecting days that worked for some of the independent Detroit labels, and he said that they had some pretty old and rough equipment.
Oh, man, I don't care, but overmodulation, you can't fix it, no matter what. You can fix almost anything else.
They just wanted to put it out and throw it out.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, they had, like, Fortune Records in the back, Fortune Records. Their studio did have a floor.
Right.
It was dirt.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of these places were not, like, top studio areas.
You're right. But that said, the Fortune stuff, usually, I can't think of any of the Fortune stuff that was overmodulated.
That's true.
The quality wasn't great, but, you know, Devorah was, I don't know if she was behind the console ever or what. I know she wrote a lot of the stuff, but I don't think they overmodulated anything. So, yeah, this is a special hell, and I hope they're rotting in it, because they otherwise would have given us some great records.
Yeah. The only other one I knew was the Yum Yums.
Yes, absolutely. The Yum Yum is going to be a big thing.
Yeah. So, the one on the Honeybees on VJ, I was thinking that might even be a different Honeybees group.
Of course, I'm not sure. There were a lot of different Honeybees, and then there were Honey and the Bees, of course.
That's true, yeah.
So, Honeybee, okay, on VJ, let's see if any comes up. I got the Honeybees. On VJ, it is definitely a different group. This is interesting. 1964, and David Gates produced it. That's frightening.
Yeah, 64, yep.
Yeah, Margie Greenwald was in it. That's on VJ, but no relation to our Honeybees. Okay, yeah, One Girl, One Boy. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, could be. I just recall the label.
Right.
Seeing Honeybees on VJ. Right. I haven't played that in a long time.
Yeah,
from what I remember, it's not as up-tempo as our Honeybees for tonight.
Right, different Honeybees.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as always, wonderful to hear from you. I don't think anybody else is going to know any of these, but you never know.
some fine recordings, though, fine records that never made the charts, but are good in our minds and our hearts.
Exactly. I mean, I love can't be modernized. I just laugh saying the
tune.
Yeah, just saying the title makes me laugh.
So, now, did you say that was from Philadelphia?
No, that was on Soundville. That was the Trips. It was an L.A. record.
An L.A. record. Okay.
But Willie Hutch wrote it and was the lead vocalist, but under, I think, James Conley or something. Not under Willie Hutch, but that's who it was.
Yeah, Willie Hutch, Motown connection there.
Yeah, right. Well, and Memphis connection, so sure. But that was an L.A. record. And if you can name another record on Soundville, good for you, because I don't have any. So, yeah. But so, yeah, these were kind of good things. I mean, no one's going to get Soul Sound either. That was the Jokers on Schofield.
Was that a New Orleans
I say that. Yes, I think it was. And the other thing that I was going to play, which I took it out of the running, was Timmy Williams' competition. That was definitely New Orleans. But yes, I think Schofield was a New Orleans label. Yes.
That sounded familiar.
Yes. To me. Yes. Yes.
With something. I don't know why. But,
yes.
Maybe the production or something
Right, exactly. But not a lot of groups on there. I think they had like five or six releases, but Extra Kicks and Valerie Hebert and, of course, the Jokers. That was probably the last thing they did. And they put out something on Schofield by Johnny Schofield. That was their first release, Foolish Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and There Goes My Love by the Extra Kicks, but very...
Was that a subsidiary of Paul or Jewels or anything like that?
Not that I know.
Any relation?
No. And, of course, if it had been Paul or Jewel, we wouldn't have been talking about New Orleans. We would have been talking Louisiana, that's for sure, but
Shreveport,
Shreveport and Bossier City. Yeah, Stan Lewis. But no, I don't know. I have no idea who was involved with Schofield, because it's like five records and that's it. But it is definitely New Orleans. You're right.
Yeah, it's a great jam. Yeah.
Yeah.
A good gem, a good finding.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now I'll have to. Extra Kicks wasn't a bad record either. Maybe I'll play that this week. But, you know, I don't know that I'll ever find out who they were. I'm still looking for the Shamal label. What can I tell you?
So, so am I.
Yeah, exactly.
I even got a guy from Canada looking for it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm convinced that CHA was one word, one last name, and MAL was the other last name. And I believe that because the way it's written on the records is like CHA, and then the records, it says records, and then MAL on the side there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a contraction. You know, since I called all the Shamals that I could find in the phone book, and none of them had any idea what I was talking about. So. Yeah, yeah, and John wonders why I don't like to make phone calls. Well, because nothing good comes of it. So, yes. Well, I'll keep looking, and you'll keep listening, and thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
So, 888, add to a stand stash there, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll go to Augusta for our next bumper, don't you know? Yeah. Now for something completely different. All right, so Stacy is in Algonquin. Stacy, welcome to WGN Radio. Hi, Stacy.
Raleigh?
Yes, there you are.
Hi.
Hiya, hiya. So we're going to do...
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. We're going to do early James Bond movie trivia?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go talk about as early as it gets. Sean Connery debuted at age 32 in what movie? So obviously it's before the first one he was in obviously before Goldfinger by a couple of years.
Okay. Wait. Wait a minute. Dr. No?
Yes, absolutely right. Dr. No. That's what he debuted.
Great.
In.
Great.
Yes, you betcha. All right. Well, you're a winner.
Thank you.
All right. So hang on. Don't go away. All right, so, Stacy gets it right, and I've got her request to play this week coming up. All right, so we put her on hold, and we do not hang up on her. Good. All right. We'll be getting some Seinfeld trivia, don't you know? And in a moment here, we're going to be doing charts with Ralph in Rockford. But as promised, we've got an Augusta record coming up. We'll see how you do with it next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Who is that? Like I say, it's an Augusta record, 1966 on the Out of Sight label. Yes, that's Out, the letter A, next word, Sight, S-I-T-E, the Out of Sight label. Yeah, so who is he? If you know anything about them, you probably know more than I do. So 888-876-5593. At this point, I think what they say, Northern Soul Singer, meaning that, okay, so they discovered that over in the amphetamine-fueled all-nighters. Yeah, still sad now that I know what that means. All right. So we got Ralph in Rockford. So, Ralph, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I hope I'm not out of sight, out of mind.
Ah, there you go. Well, I can't name any other records on Out of Sight other than that one. But
That's fine. I heard again you're saying that how much you like the charts, so your wish is my command.
All right, good. I love doing charts. All right, so this week in 1965...
I would go 1965. I think you were mentioning something about 65. They are one of the first songs you played. I think those were the Impressions.
No, I didn't play any Impressions.
Okay. Well,
not tonight, anyway. The second record I played was from 65. That was the Yum Yums, going to be a big thing. I think that's the only thing from 65 I played, and I don't think anything coming up is in 65. I almost played Timmy Williams' Competition. That was in 1965 on Mala, but I didn't.
You also mentioned Gene Shandler.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene Shandler. He had a number one hit, I believe, in 62, I think.
Well, sure. Right. And, of course, that was quite a shock to the rest of the Duques when the record came out as being done by Gene Shandler. But it wasn't his fault. It was VJ that changed it, but it was actually the Duques who had done Night Owl and some other things that were really kind of cute.
You should have seen him perform.
I did see him perform. I saw him in the full get-up as the Duke. Yes.
Yeah.
You betcha I did.
He was wearing the black outfit and the cylinder.
Yeah.
You know, the top hat.
Oh, no, I know. Absolutely. I saw the get-up. He did that for years. And then later went on to produce wonderful things like Backfield in Motion for Mel and Tim.
And the other one, big hit, is... It's a Groovy Situation.
Oh, I loved Groovy Situation. Yeah, a number of wonderful things. And then of course, he had his run-in with the law and did some jail time, and that was sad. But
It wasn't too good. But I think he's still kicking, and he loves to play golf.
He is still kicking, but as I say, I don't think he wants to be on late-night radio. I don't think the hours coincide. Oh. But I would love, you know, my door is open for him anytime he wants.
Oh, that's a very nice... Yeah. Invitation.
And, anytime.
Then you mentioned Jimmy Tracy. I saw him live in Rockford.
Oh, Sonny Tracy. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he had that big hit, Time Won't Let Me.
The Outsiders, of course. No, he was huge in Cleveland, just huge.
Yeah, he was. He was with the Outsiders.
Yep, of course he was, and much more. And he... wasn't an easy death for him, but rest in peace for Sonny. Yeah.
Well, that was quite a group. And, it was very, so far it's been very interesting. The last hour there, all these trivia, so I thought maybe I can make a little contribution myself.
I hope so, and I bet you that you will. That's for
I thank you very much for all your trust in me. And, I was going to say I met the Hot Chocolate Group, I think I told you once, in April 78 in Munich.
Yeah, I thought they were great. I loved Emma.
I think you also like Everyone's a Winner.
I love that song, Everyone's a Winner. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they played that very well at this concert in Munich.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that was, that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
And then there was Nazareth, I think, Love Hurts. I know them from Holland. I believe they're from Holland.
They very well may be. Never liked it, but very well aware of it. had to play it, yeah. Like I said.
Yeah, I know. It was in on request there.
Yeah.
And before we go to the charts, I would have one request for you.
Oh, okay. Let me get out that piece of paper so I don't lose this and see what Ralph in Rockford. Okay, what you got?
Yeah, well, I once had I must say, I did have the pleasure to meet Edwin Starr in Germany during a concert.
Okay.
And he had, I talked to him for about half an hour after the concert. He liked my suit so much, was a boss one, that he wanted to have it.
Well, that's funny. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Yeah. We'll pick it up with Edwin Starr right after the news right here. Don't go away. Ralph and Rockford and everybody else, another half hour of Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
A girl, sweeter girl, I could not find. Yeah, yeah, she's the one, the only one that's on my mind.
Ooh, yeah, yeah,
I love that girl, I want to make her mine. I really need her, but she's so fine.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James, and we have a half hour of, well, a little less than that now, of Monday Night Trivia left to go this hour. And we were talking with Ralph and Rockford moments ago, and I forget completely about what.
Well, I remember there were two gentlemen on one of your shows about 2 weeks ago on Thursdays, and they both mentioned Edwin Starr.
Right.
And so they said how much they liked him, and I wanted to call into that show too, but then I couldn't get through. So tonight I just want to say that I liked Edwin Starr very much too.
Yeah.
I met him in Germany after a concert. I talked to him, and there he had told me that he had relocated to England.
Yeah. A lot of guys did that because of the success they were having with Northern Soul.
Yeah, must have been, because really had a... that was part of my request here. I think I talked to him in the early 90s, but he had one hit in the top 10 in the United Kingdom that was called Contact in 79, I believe, February.
Okay.
And I think it came out also here in the United States, but I don't think it ever made it up even to the top 50. So I've never heard it, this song here in the United States, and it's called Contact or Eye to Eye Contact.
Yeah, and it was on 20th Century in 78. And they released it a couple times, I think, actually, and it never really did anything as far as that goes.
No, it didn't. Unfortunately, it didn't catch on. I remember that that was quite a video that they had with this hit, and I taped it when it was in the Dutch people. Holland liked Edwin Starr very much, too, and it was in their top 10, too.
Yeah. No, I've got the record, that's for sure. People who don't remember it sounded a little like this. Yeah, perfect for Northern Soul.
Yeah, that was a good... It sounded a little bit like it could have been one of the clapping songs that Norman Whitfield
composed. Oh, yeah, right, all that stuff, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I remember that you
You Played Once Car Wash by Rose Royce.
Yes, absolutely. I actually like that. Normally, I don't like Norah Whitfield stuff, but I did like
it. No,
her.
I know. I think you mentioned several times.
Yeah,
but I've never detected this in Norman Whitfield, this psychedelic stuff. I cannot see it. Maybe I don't know what psychedelic is, you know.
Well, a lot of the stuff, like with the Temptations and stuff, oh, God, just horrible stuff.
The Temptations denied that Cloud Nine had anything, absolutely has nothing, that's what they said, has nothing to do with drugs or some illegal stuff. That was just something they remember out of their childhood, that when they had been doing not very well, they would go up to a room and then thought they were in Cloud Nine. That's what they said.
And who cares? I mean, I don't ever think about it, whether it's drugs or not. I mean, I was very disappointed with what happened in Northern Soul, because I was a huge fan of the all-nighters. And see, I had no idea that they... And I wondered, why do the cops keep closing down, like, Wiggins Casino and all that? And I had no idea that they were just dens of amphetamines. But, that's what they would do all night, and that's why that frenetic beat was that Northern Soul beat. I had no idea. That kind of broke my heart. But, you know, the basic ball of confusion, and I mean, there's so many things I just didn't like about Norman Whitfield. But anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to do 1965, this week in 1965?
Yeah, I would say February. I'm still in February.
All right. All right. Let's do then the week of February 27th. Number one.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, This Diamond Ring.
Oh, let's see. This Diamond Ring.
Doesn't shine for me.
Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Absolutely. And Al Cooper wrote it. Number two, You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin'.
Oh, that was a, let's see.
Never close your eyes anymore.
That was the Righteous Brothers.
Number three, My Girl.
Oh, that was a Smokey Robinson composition by the Temptations.
Yep. Number four, Downtown.
Oh, that was one of the biggest hits for Petula Clark.
Right. Number five, Jolly Green Giant. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I remember Jolly Green Giant. Those were the Kingsmen.
Right. A direct ripoff of Big Boy Pete. Number six, Tell Her No.
That was from England to Zombies.
Yeah, on Parrot. Number seven, Shake.
Shake. Sam Cooke.
Right. Eight, The Boy from New York City.
Oh, that was one of my favorites. It was the Ad-Libs.
Right, on Blue Cat. Number nine, I Go to Pieces.
Oh, that's another English group, Peter and Gordon.
And number 10, King of the Road.
Oh, that was one of my favorites, Roger Miller.
All right, we'll see how far you go. Number 11, The Name Game.
Oh, that was... Do you remember a DJ by the name of Jonathan Apple?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he has here one of the local stations, I must say, they bought most of his shows, and they send it every Saturday night, and most of them has been sent already a dozen times, and he's always got that one thing by Shirley Ellis that he calls The Name Game.
Right. Yes. All right. So absolutely on Congress, don't you know. Number 12, Ferry Across the Mersey.
Oh, I saw him live too in Holland. That was Gary Marston and the Pacemakers.
Yep, Jerry and the Pacemakers. Number 13, the birds and the bees. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers the moon up above.
That was his biggest hit. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees.
And the moon up above. Ho, ho, anything called.
Yeah, the moon up above.
Yes, and that is?
Oh, that was Jewel Aiken.
Right, and that's a medley of his hit. Number 14, Twine Time. A great Chicago record.
Twine Time, was that by a Chicago group?
was by a Chicago person.
Chicago person.
And it was on Marvelous, which was, of course, a subsidiary of Wonderful, the Lehner Brothers.
And it's called Crying Time?
Yeah, Alvin Cash and the Crawlers.
Oh, that was a one-hit wonder.
Well, yeah, he was actually a dancer. He was not a singer, but that was a great record. That was a pretty big hit.
But that, as far as I remember, that was Twine Time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Twine Time. That's what I'm saying. Twine
I understood. I understood. The phone is not too good tonight. I understood Crying Time.
No, Twine Time. Twine Time.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. If it was Crying Time, it would be Ray Charles. You're going to leave me. I can see the faraway look in your eyes. I can tell by the way you hold me, darling, that it won't be long before it's Crying Time. No, it was Twine Time.
Yeah, it's Crying Time again.
Yeah. Number 15, Laugh, Laugh. I Thought I'd Die. It seems so funny to me.
That was a funny group, B.O. Brummels or Sub Brummels.
Yeah, the Bo Brummels, yes, trying to seem British when they were really from San Francisco on Autumn, Tom Donahue's label. Let's see, 16 All Day and All of the Night.
Oh, those were the Davies Brothers, the Kings.
Yep, number 17, Hurt So Bad. On DCP, actually, which was not Dick Clark Productions, it was Don Costa Productions.
Was that by the Four Seasons?
Little Anthony and the Imperials, but you did really well.
Okay, well, yeah. I tried to.
You did. You aced the top 10. Good enough. So hang on, don't go away.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good deal. So, yes, that's absolutely the deal. So, let's not hang up on Ralph. Let me see. I know I can do this here. So, there. All right. And let's see. Jeff is in Homewood. All right, Jeff, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Jeff?
It's going okay. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. So, we're going to be doing more Seinfeld trivia.
Can I do a request?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Let me get the piece of paper out so I will remember this. Otherwise, forget about it. I won't. So, Jeff in Homewood, what do you want to hear?
About Tom Jones, It's Not Unusual.
Very good song. Absolutely. The Dells had a beautiful version of that, too. All right. So,
can you play it after 12:30 sometime?
Okay, let me write that down. Yes, I can. After 12:30. Okay. All right. Central Time. Yeah, daylight savings happens next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to you guys, not to me, though, so it changes when I do the show. All right, so let's see what we've got with Seinfeld trivia. All right, what can we do that seems interesting? All right, here we go. Well, that's interesting. What type of animal does Elaine's new boyfriend own, Robert?
A cat.
Yes, actually two of them. Very good. Causes a problem because she's allergic.
Yeah.
All right, good deal. Hang on, don't go away. All right, so again, prizes are worthless. Takes forever to get something. Eventually you'll like the certificate and you'll get something else you don't want, like a 45 RPM. It's like that, yes. We've been, completing the move and doing things, and I just realized while I was sitting here, I threw out a ton of stuff earlier, and I just realized, oh, God, I threw out the connectors for the blinds. All right, well, we'll be picking that up after the show. All right. Yeah, I know. Let's see. Dave is on the north side calling back. Now, you were going to give me some requests, and I accidentally hung up on you, so what were they?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
I can't do anything about that. So what are the requests?
Stardust?
What?
Stardust?
Stardust. Okay, sure. I'll be happy to.
I'm not sure who by. I'm sure a lot of people have probably done it.
Yeah, but we'll play the biggest of the hits. Okay, what else?
Did Lily Jordan do a song called Superstition?
Not that I know of, but maybe it doesn't come to mind. Let me. I'll research it. If he did, I want to hear it.
Yeah, I heard someone do it last weekend. It was a nice song. I can't remember. Heard so many people. Louis Jordan was one of the people it was featured. So
yeah, love Louis Jordan. I think his stuff is great. I thought I knew all of it, but I probably don't. So bottom
it's
line is
someone else. I probably think it's someone else.
Well, maybe not. Well, I'll look it up. If it comes up to Louis Jordan, you'll hear it.
Okay. How about My Tears Flow Like Wine?
Okay. Let me get this. All right.
Yeah. And would you play ELE Electric Light Orchestra song for me?
Which one?
I think it's called Blue Sky or Sky Blue.
Okay. I'll look.
Like from the probably 78 to 80.
Okay. Doesn't sound like one of the hit singles, but that doesn't mean it wasn't an album cut. I'll look for it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was a hit single.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was a nice song. I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you want Gunsmoke trivia?
Yeah, because I got cut off last week.
Yes.
You were gonna ask me.
Yes, that's absolutely true. All right. So, let's see what we can ask about Gunsmoke. I know you like your multiple choices, so... Let's see. All right. Let's see. All right. Besides being a deputy, what job did Newley O'Brien have? Was he a gunsmith, a blacksmith, a bartender, a shopkeeper?
I think he was a gunsmith.
Yep. He was played by Buck Taylor in Return to Dodge, the first Gunsmoke movie. Newley was the marshal of Dodge, and he was a gunsmith. So you are a winner.
Okay, yeah, because I caught an episode not too long ago where he just came to town and he was like playing around with making guns and stuff.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, hang on. We'll add to your stash. There you have it. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, if you want the final word, I have a feeling we got one more bumper stumper, which I'm going to play. Nobody's even taken a gander at the theme. I realize the songs are a little out there for the most part, all of which between 1965 and 1967, every last one of them. So, what's the deal? All right, so you'll hear the final one. And then I'll reveal, coming up on WGN Radio.
Before you pack that bag and walk right out of my life, I've got a story to tell and maybe you'll think why.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who are they? 1967 on Wise World. Joshie Armstead wrote that. Yeah. So, all right. So we're going to go over what we played, since it's doubtful anybody's going to get any of these, other than Stan, who got a few of them. But it was started with the Trips, Love Can't Be Modernized, 1967 on Soundville. And I mentioned, by the way, that they were all recorded between 1965 and 1967, and they all have something in common, other than bad production on most of them, sadly. And what they have in common is that all of these records sold for over $2,000, some over $12,000. Now, this came up because I was seeing where John Manship had sold Do I Love You, you know, the Frank, why can't I think of his name right now, but the Motown record that had sold for like £34,000 a while ago, and Frank Wilson, Do I Love You. And what it was he decided that he'd become a writer for Motown rather than an artist, so Berry Gordy pulled the record, and there were supposedly only about six of them around, and so therefore they became very pricey. Well, John Manship a couple of years ago sold it for £100,000. I am not making that up. One single, £100,000. I'll never forget John finding it in my collection and getting all excited. I said, well, come on, that's a boot. You know it's not the real thing. But the real thing brought £100,000, so I thought, let me look for records that sold, you know, unknown records, nobody's ever heard of them. Maybe five copies were sold in stores, and meanwhile, they sold for exorbitant amounts. In our case, a minimum of $2,000, and on this list, I think the highest price getter was $12,000. So we had the Trips, Love Can't Be Modernized, 1967 on Soundville. It went for $4,800. Same price for the Yum Yums, Gonna Be a Good Thing, and that was a kind of a two-sided thing. The A side was Looky, Looky What I Got. The Jokers did Soul Sound, 1967 on Schofield. That brought $4,000. It was the Springers that did Nothing's Too Good for My Baby, 1966 on Whale. That brought $9,000. Gene Tunes. His actual name was Gene Tune, but on the label on this one it said Gene Tunes. What More Do You Want? 1966 on Simcoe. Well, it brought $2,000. I'm sure he didn't see a dime. The Honeybees, which we played Never in a Million Years, 1967 on Garrison, brought a few thousand dollars. Lester Tipton, Time Won't Change, 1966 on LaBeat, $12,000, I'll have you know. John and the Weirdest did Can't Get Over These Memories, 1967 on Tie, horribly produced record, but a great song nonetheless, $6,000. The record from Augusta I played, Bobby Wisdom, Handwriting on the Wall, 1966 on Out of Sight. Well, that brought $2,300. The Magnetics did I Have a Girl, 1967 on Rossell. That brought $11,000. And the Salvadors, the last thing we played, Stick By Me Baby, 1967 on Wise World, brought $5,000. And that's the one Joe Armstead wrote. So that's a list of all the bumper stumpers. Now, I was about to play 2020 news, but I realized that we're off the air, or will be in seconds. So it will, if you're listening on the stream, you'll hear it right after we bid Adam farewell. And we actually thank him for keeping us on the air. Thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Couldn't do Monday Night Trivia without you. I hope you'll do it again tomorrow night. About 21 and a half hours from now, I think we're delayed a half hour or so for sports. But check it out, and I'll talk to you then. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
No Plow Smash and Dash, plus Big Fight at the Oasis, and Moving Police Block. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Plow Pile Up Panic. In a snow-soaked slice of the Big Apple, winter warriors turned into winter wreckers as roving snowplows reportedly crashed into parked cars and fled the scene before even a single snowflake settled. Authorities say drivers in cabs and SUVs alike awoke to mangled metal and bent bumpers as the plow operators apparently skirted accountability like a skid on ice. Neighborhoods are now grumbling about grit, grins, and gasps, and drivers are wondering if the real snow on the streets was the only thing less predictable than the plows themselves. You'd think they'd plow responsibly, not run and rumble. Indecent disposal. Take your freak flag and fly away. That's what the new owners of a longtime nudist colony east of L.A. seem to be saying, according to suspicious Hines with nothing on but a scowl. Junset Strip may have nowhere to stride as management told the Girth Day Suit crowd to put their clothes on or get out. The Strip lurched, now in court after Club Dread allegedly cut off power to the naked pity. Even the lock on the front gate may have been stripped, prompting people to panic about peeping Toms. Law and Utter SBU, in an utterly unbelievable twist out of Wisconsin, where a man leading officers on a 13-mile high-speed chase thought he could shake the sirens by turning into an open field until a herd of cows quite literally stopped him in his tracks. The Cowabunga blockade forced him to slam the brakes, giving deputies the perfect moment to take him into custody. Nobody was hurt, though the sheriff's new special bovine unit may be the hottest new recruit in crime fighting. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.